Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 203 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Connect Roasters. ConnectRoasters.com to get all of your coffee needs. We got all kinds of roasts. We got Guatemala. We got Honduras. We got Nicaragua. We got all of them under the sun. We got two codes. Code Compound Club for 25% off your first order of the Home Run Club. And we got code Compound 15 for 15% off. Site-wide, do you want to try a bag of coffee? Compound 15, give it a try. Try it out. You're going to love it. That's connectroasters.com.
That's your best read.
Feel good about it.
People are saying that the Home Run Club is going to get activated this week.
I said it to Ian three times today. I go, hey, man, like we got to get on the board. We got to get one out there.
You know, it was tough. I was in San Diego, had an at-bat, hit a ball. About 15 feet foul, homer. Felt good about it. Next pitch. Punch my ticket. A little bit up. A little bit out of the zone. Ticket.
I don't know the time that I hit a foul home run and the at-bat ended successfully for me.
Dude, and then later that game, Cronenworth hits a foul homer, like launched and like close foul homer. Has a great at bat. I don't know, 10, 12 pitches and then hits a homer to finish it. It was pretty impressive.
Whoa. That's almost hard to believe. Like, that's like, if you were to bring that into a movie director, you'd be like, no, it's not. It's too unrealistic.
He had real good at bats this series.
Wait, really quick. Speaking of pitches, close pitches up, you said, do you guys not have the K zone anymore on the iPads?
Nobody's got the box.
Dude, we opening week. Well, can we you were explain looking at it?
Can you explain what you guys are talking about?
Yeah, so in the past, I don't know what year it started, they would have the live, right? Ian, you can attest, like right after you're at bat, you could come in and look on the iPad and see where the pitch was. And then umpires were like, can't have that. Guys are standing there with the iPad, like,
To be fair to the umps.
I see that. There's times now where I'm like, we got to pump the brakes on that a little bit. And then, so in the last two or three years, however long, you know, that I've seen it, it's been delayed by an inning to where you can see the TV broadcast. And then that would have the K zone on there, or the box is what we call it. And this year I had no idea, but like, one of the first days I look at the iPad, I'm like, oh man, they must have not put it up yet. And then like it kept happening. And then I, you know, put two and two together. I was like, wow, they must have took away the box after every inning.
Does that thing show like,
I think it's whatever's on TV.
No. Oh, okay. I was going to say, does it show like, you know, on Ivy, how it would show like strike percentage? Like it doesn't show like that. Like, oh, like this is a 10% strike call.
No. It's the exact same box as you would see on TV. So it's the broadcast feed, the same as you'd see on TV. Zach, let me ask you a question about it. Do you think it makes it harder to do your job when you come back from an at-bat and you have the 400-foot away camera on a side angle without the box? Do you think it's harder for you to do your job without the K-zone boxes you would see on TV?
It is tough because there is sometimes where it's like you have validation, like, all right, I screwed up, or, you know, it was a ball. Like, hey, maybe I'm really not seeing it, or I'm like, man, I knew that was a strike or a ball. Like I knew. Yeah, it is tough. I totally understand why they did it though. Like I get it, but it does suck. It's tough. Like guys, you know, they come back like, look at this, this is a strike. And I'm like, how do you know if it's a strike? Like,
I completely agree. I just think like the box is a good barometer for us.
And
being able to go back in and see, like, I took that pitch. Like, I had a strike three called on me the other day. It was a ball or two up out of the zone after that foul homer. And I felt like it was a ball. I felt like it was out of the zone. and you can't look until after the game to get that validation that it was up. And so, you know, if you're facing the starting pitcher, we're facing Darvish, Musgrove, Cease the last couple of days. And they're throwing, you know, they're throwing sliders, spinning at 2,800, 2,900, and just getting a gauge for like, all right, that's a couple inches off the inside corner. Like I swung at it, but now I know that like that's off the edge. Like that's a ball. I need to take that pitch, or like something gets called. And then you go back and the box isn't there and you can't tell, like, is that on the corner? Is that off in? Like, should I take that? Should I not? So when you go back for your second at bat, it's hard to get that gauge for like, that's where the strike zone is. My eyes aren't lying to me. And I just think not having the box for, from a hitter's perspective is super challenging to make those in-game adjustments, which is something that like guys pride themselves on. Guys pride themselves on making adjustments, pitch to pitch, about to at bat.
I don't think they took it away because of Ian Happ. I think they took it away more because there's some people that would go Pat Bev and be like, you see this shit? You see that? That's not even close. And then they're holding the iPad over the railing.
Some of the stories they said, like when it was live, they would literally just stand there like it was a sign and they would just be like, I told you. I told you, Jim.
Sick background, by the way.
Choppy.
Look at that. That's a good picture.
I know, man. He's a good
boy.
I missed him.
Ian walked away and we're both just like,
that was wild.
What do we do? What do we do now? Where is
Well,
it?
Hey, you guys had a day.
We had
you
a
Ian.
Day today.
You and Ian had a day.
What a treat. What a treat getting to see Ian Happ play some golf.
That's nice.
Probably not as much of a treat watching me play, but he shot
had some good chop.
We did have some good chop. He shot even on the front. Ian, we kind of fell apart without you, so we turned it into we had a good day today.
I want to talk about this. I don't know how you guys introed it, but what happened today was the Cubbies had an off day. We're in Seattle, where Dakota is working and living. And so Dakota had an off day today. Serendipitous for us. Fantastic.
What a word choice out of you.
Thank you. Thank you. We were able to go play golf. And so we went to play at a shout out Broadmoor Golf Club. And we went and played golf. We had a wonderful day in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest. And we played some great golf. I'll tell you, Dakota was playing a ball flight.
I knew you were going to say this.
Wasn't super windy
Zach,
out there.
You would have puked watching me.
Wasn't super windy out there, but no. He was playing a low left to right flight and he was keeping it just under the wind.
Lasers.
Nice.
He was hitting lasers all over the course. It was fairly straight and not ineffective. No. But he was hitting it low, keeping it low under the wind. Rolled the rock great. There was a couple tough greens that got away from both of us.
Dude.
The back nine was a struggle. I felt like I hit it really well all day and my score didn't reflect as well as I hit it. The putter was not great. I need to figure something out. But we had a blast out there. We had a really great time. We had a wonderful member, Chris, that hosted us, and he was
the man.
He was a joy to be with.
Zach, it was hilarious. First tee shot of the day, I pop it up a little bit. Like it was fine, but I popped it up. High fly ball in the infield. Okay. And then the next 10 drives were just bullets that didn't get above 5 feet off the ground. And they honestly,
subconscious. Right there, like just
they kind of worked though. Like they were actually like not terrible.
They were in play. Dakota only lost one ball today, and the
and
ball
it was
he
like
lost
a, it was a freak ball.
The ball he lost, what happened was he hit it into a large tree and it never came out.
But it didn't sound like you know how like Zach, like you'll hear it, like, oh yeah, that's probably in there, but like it didn't even make a sound, and then they're like, I'm like, dude, we don't need to look for that. Like, we didn't even really look. I'm like, I'm just going to throw one down. Like, it's not a
we
big
did,
deal.
We looked a little
good.
Bit. Yeah. I was watching the ball really hard, and I thought, I don't know if that came out of there.
No. But, dude, putting Zach, it was like, it was fast. Not like crazy fast, wouldn't you say? And I don't think it was like
it crazy, wasn't
crazy
fast.
But it was like the slopes were so like gradual. Like you couldn't really read anything. Like every putt looked straight and then you'd hit it and it's like, shit, it's 10 feet past or dang, like that went 10 feet to the left. Like I didn't even see anything in that.
That there's just no more demoralizing feeling when you putt it and you just know right away that it's just not even going to be competitive. And you're like,
me all day.
Yeah, this is just a waste of time.
I must have had five. I must have five 5 foot birdie looks.
Yeah, you did.
The hole on.
I had
two horribly, horribly sad lip outs. One that was halfway in the cup and ended up 5 feet away, and one that did a literal 360 and came back at me.
It literally like around back to him and then like kicked out. I was like, that's not possible. Like that defied physics.
The old walk it in, but you're not walking in, and you're just walking to where the side of the hole just to tap it right back in.
I hit multiple putts today too that like 12 footers probably. If they didn't hit the back of the cup, they were going 15 feet past. Like I was, but they hit the back of the cup. And I was like,
I mean, you're dead center. It's all good, dude.
We had a, I shot 76. I had a streak of some bad luck on the back nine. I didn't hit it bad. I just got unlucky, and then some bad putts. But
Zach, delete that video from your phone.
We had one hole specifically that Dakota and I were both above the hole on the right side of it.
Oh my God.
I was just off the green. Dakota was on the back of the green. And I hit my putt from off the green. And I thought, I had a pretty good putt there.
You started the line above the hole.
Yeah. I thought that's pretty good. I'm not kidding you. I ended up 50 feet away from the hole.
They rolled down.
The ball never stops rolling. But the best part of that was Dakota proceeded to do the exact same thing.
But you saw where I was like directly behind the pin and I was putting straight downhill and I thought I tapped it 50 feet past. I'm like, I don't know what I could have done there.
He watched my putt and then did the exact same thing.
Did any of that golf bring back some compound memories or what?
It did.
Felt great to be out there.
Tee off from the reds with only an 8-iron for a few holes or what?
It felt really great to be out there.
The funniest one is I forget what hole it was, like 13 or something. Ian was like behind a tree almost, or like behind branches, and had to hit like kind of a low 56 and kind of like spin it into the green. And he's just like grabbing his club. He goes, I'm a good player. I have this shot. I'm a good player. I can hit this shot. I'm a good player and I can hit this shot. And he goes up and he hits it and he like hit it really good. And it just rolled like 20 feet past. And he's like, I thought I hit that really good.
I was trying to really give myself some positive reinforcement towards the end there.
I fell apart late, dude. I went like triple, triple, double, triple bogey to end the day. And I was like, it's gone.
A little bit of tight back.
Yeah, the back was tight. You know, I might have to go see Franz tomorrow, get a little work done. I was playing with a Cubs player, so I think I'm allowed to go in there and get some treatment.
Yes.
But no, it was
treatment by association.
Exactly. It was a great day.
Northwest is nice, man.
Zach, you're going to love this part of the story. I pick up Ian from the hotel. He was nice enough to get his coffees, first of all.
Nice.
Second of all, we're going there. And I, for some reason, am using Apple Maps. And it says we got like 7 minutes to the course, like a mile. Ian pulls up Google Maps. He goes, where the hell are you going? You were supposed to turn back there. We're like 2 seconds away. And I'm like, this is telling me to keep going this way. And he goes, no, do this. And we do it. And we were like right there. And I almost took a wrong turn. He almost yelled at me. And that's Google Maps proved better in that scenario.
Dakota had to take us through a neighborhood with speed bumps in his truck.
God.
And we couldn't physically get back to the road we needed to be on. Then we had to whip behind a construction vehicle. We almost ended up, I mean, we were 3 minutes behind schedule. But,
oh God.
But he almost yelled at me and I was like, dude, I'm following what the maps say. I don't know where I'm going.
That was your fault for going with Apple Maps. That was a crazy move.
Dakota, how far are you staying from the hotel?
I mean, it like right now, probably like 30, 40 minutes. But this morning with like rush hour, it took me like an hour 10 to get to him.
And
like 5 minutes.
I'm not going to say that Dakota said he would be there at 8:30 sharp to pick me up, but he might have. And then
no chance. I will screenshot the text.
And then I get a text in the morning saying 8:47.
Not true. These are lies. Wow. I said, I'm going to plan on heading out around 7:45. It's like 40 minutes from me. I wake up at 7:15. I plug it in. It says an hour. I go, I better get going. I leave at 7:30. I said, I'll be there around 8:30. Yesterday, that's my last text, around 8:30. At 8:26, I said 15 minutes away. I got there at like 8:40.
I think I'm team eight here.
No way. I didn't plan on one more hour.
You can do it. Hey, Google Maps. You can do or Apple Maps.
You can do it. Anticipated.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Okay.
I was up at 7:15 on my off day. I thought it was nice.
So that you could play golf with me. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was worth it.
Just one last thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
We finish up the round.
I knew you were gonna say this.
It was a nice round. Our generous member invites us in for some lunch.
Zach will be on my side on this.
We sit in the nice grill area. Masters is on the big TV, and we all order our food. Member gets a burger.
You got a Wagyu beef burger. Yep.
Made of Wagyu. Nice Wagyu beef burger. I get the club sandwich. Guess to Dakota. Sir, what would you like? Dakota says, Wagyu beef burger. Our nice waiter says, how would you like that done? Dakota says, well done, Wagyu beef burger?
What's happening?
It's made of Wagyu.
Zach, you're not on my side?
No.
The burger. Why would I want pink in my burger?
He took a steak, the Wagyu
burger. I always get medium burger.
Made into a hockey puck.
I wanted that thing well. I didn't want it mooing when it got out to me.
Dakota.
It was still good.
I think he offended
I'm sure it was. Imagine how much better it would have been.
The thing was, is I said it and I instantly looked at Ian because I knew he'd have a look on his face, which he did. And I was like, I knew it. I knew Ian was going to hate that. But I was like, this is what it is.
All of the people listening will say that you getting a Wagyu beef burger well done is a bananas move.
They probably will. And I've always been on the side of like, people like to make a big stink about how you get your steaks. I'm like, isn't it just how you like it? Like, however I like it, like, what's it matter? Like, why does it, if you're saying I'm ruining it, like, I like it. So who cares? Who cares? It was good. It was a good burger. Good fries.
Before we move on.
We had a great day.
It didn't take away from the day.
Did you use your Bruce Bolt Ian Happ golf glove?
No, I told him I almost brought it and it's still never been used. And I'm like, I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to get it dirty.
Did you use your Bruce Bolt glove today?
No, I used a Kirkland one. Shout out Costco. Shout out Kim Meckes. Also, Ian, you didn't give me a shout out on how good my wedges were, though. I am dialed with wedges.
Tight wedges, short game, very good. He had some really good short game shots. Bunkers weren't great. We won't talk about it, but the rest of the short game was dialed.
But best part, I still get to watch Ian play Saturday.
That's nice.
Get to go to a little Cubbies game. And it's Shota Day, too. Imanaga.
Before we move on to baseball, I want to talk about a company that I love, that Zach loves, that Dakota loves. Bruce Bolt. Look at the bolt on the hat. BruceBolt.us. They have game hats. You can customize them for your team. Do whatever you want to do, whatever logo you want to do. They got a little bit of stretch to them. They got sweat-resistant technology. They also have golf gloves. They also have batting gloves. My batting gloves are back in stock. You got the baby blues. You got the white with baby blue. New one coming? Maybe. Maybe sometime this summer. BruceBolt.us. Go check them out.
And you've been to Seattle before, right?
No, first time.
Whoa. You're going to love it. In Seattle. You're going to love it. The place is special.
Yeah, I'm excited. It was 50, just over 50 today, 52, 54, and like pretty comfortable. So it's going to be a little bit nicer weather the next 2 days, 3 days. I'm excited to see the stadium. Pretty cool place. Stadium,
dude. It's
I've never special. Been to the stadium either. So I'm excited for that.
Can I talk about one player that I like right now?
Zach got to go there for a little tryout, kind of a tryout, a little showcase. Oh, pre-draft.
Yeah. That worked.
Can I talk about one?
They chose not to take him. Their mistake. Yes, you can tell us.
One player that I like. Mm-hmm. He's a new guy on the scene. Looks pretty good to me. He's got 12 games played, 50 at bats.
I know where this is going.
14 hits, 6 homers, 8 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, no caught stealing, 5 walks. Yeah, that's good for a .318 batting average, .400 on base, .795 slug, good for a .195 in the early going. He's leading the league, American League in homers and total bases. That player's name is Mike Trout.
How pissed is Tom?
I He's... love Love seeing
there he is.
Tom, get back on the screen.
Tom hates it. Tom hates Trout.
Seeing Mike Trout hit homers is one of my favorite things.
He's so good. It's so mean, though, that it's always it's the same thing every year. It's like, oh, Mike Trout, 3 for 4, 2 homers. Angels lose by 5. It's like, come on. Help the guy out a little bit.
Did you see Ron Washington getting into the umpire's ass the other day after the game, dude?
I didn't see that.
It was at the end. Mickey Moniak or Peter Fairbanks was throwing to Moniak. And there were some questionable. I think it was kind of going on all day. And after the game, the game's over. I think he punches him out or he swings and misses and gets pissed. And Ron just comes out hollering at him. It was great, dude. He had pep in his step.
Guys love, playing for him. Guys love playing.
I love when the managers get into the umps a little bit.
What storylines do we got in ball right now?
The Mets. Mets are hot.
Mets are hot. Big two win series, today.
Two series wins in a row on the road.
Hey, did you guys get banged on Wednesday?
Yeah, and they moved it to September.
You got banged like 2 straight days, right?
Yeah. Nah, 2 straight days. No. Well, I think we're up to 3 already. We had opening day was banged. One at home against Detroit was banged, and then Atlanta. Dude, they canceled that one at like 4 o'clock for a 7:20 game. They were just like, yeah, we're not having it.
That's a wild move, I feel like.
And it, no, but it was nice. It was red.
It's nice to have a day like that.
Yeah, it is. We even hit BP on the field. They were like, do you guys want to hit?
Hey, can you tell us about playing Detroit?
Yeah, that was wild, man. It was kind of funny. So I went in. I mean, I saw them twice in spring, so it wasn't like it was the first time seeing them. You know, obviously the spring training is way more relaxed, kind of. And then, you know, seeing everybody, there's new staff, not new staff, new coaches, new players over there, different dynamic. But I go in either the first or second game in extra innings to go play defense after I run. And I just hear a few guys over there literally barking like dogs. Like, yeah, that's right, 21. We're on you, 21. I'm just like, what do we got over there, you know? It was cool seeing, different for sure. Finally, nice to get our first win against them. Nice Tyrone Taylor walk-off knock. We played them. I mean, they were close 3 games. We should have won 2 of them. We blew a lead in the second game.
Does it feel cool? I just thought of this back in spring when you hit that homer against Tigers. Oops. The announcer said to, I forget if it was a Tigers or Mets announcer, but they were like ex-Tiger fan favorite Zach Short. Like, does that feel cool? I feel like that's pretty cool. I feel like that's true too. Like, I feel like people loved you. People do love you still, but people like in Detroit, like, loved ZS.
I don't know. I don't know if a majority of them did.
But I mean, I don't know if anyone is majority loved unless you're Mike Trout. Like, I'm sure even Ian's got some haters out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's nice because it's, you know, try to treat, you know, everybody like they're, you know, important. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, no matter who you're talking to. And that was kind of, you know, it's frustrating not playing well for a majority of the time there. And, you know, to kind of still have that, to have somebody say something like that is, it does mean, you know, it's a little bit more than baseball, obviously. And for somebody to say that, it does mean a lot.
And it's sick, like Hinch, like you've told us, like Hinch, like talked to you and like said, what's up. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, like I said, it was something that I figured was going to happen at some point, but I didn't think it was going to happen that early in the offseason. So it was kind of almost nice to take the Band-Aid off kind of as soon as we had an opportunity to do so. But I mean, like, dude, I gave an interview in spring with the Detroit reporter talking about my time over there. And it was like, I think the thing I said was like, I grew up as a player in that locker room where it was like, I learned so much about baseball, so much about myself, so much about, you know, being a, you know, becoming a big leaguer and acting like a pro. where it, I mean, you learn a lot in the minor leagues, but you learn a lot in the big leagues, obviously.
And it helped. Sorry to keep cutting you off. No, I just keep chiming in. It definitely helped you, I think, like, know how to handle it too, going into that with, like, we've talked about this a million times, but the teams we had with Iowa Cubs, like Jim Adusi and like guys like that, telling you like, this is what you do when you're there. So like, you got there and it's like you said, like, you knew like some stuff of like, hey, I got to be the first one in like to the cages. Like, I'm not getting in the way of Miguel Cabrera trying to hit in the cage, but then like you learned 10,000 times more being there.
100%. And then, you know, learning on top of that, like learning how to deal with failure. Oh, mm-hmm. I mean, it felt like, you know, my rookie year, like, started out really hot, and then like it spiraled like to a point where I was like, this may not be for me, you know, like, mm-hmm. and I mean, it's hard. And, you know, like I said, I grew up, you know, I knew so many people over there. I felt like I knew everybody in the organization, and I only played at Triple A. Where in like in the Cubs, when I got traded, it was like I knew everybody from, you know, the bottom basically to the top for those however many years I was there. And like I said, I grew up as a person in that locker room for, you know, that 3-year period that I was there, because it was such like a big, you know, period of time in my career as a person and a baseball player. So yeah, obviously it was hard, you know, leaving and seeing them, you know, kind of have their roster turn over and not be a part of it. But it was also cool competing against them at the same time. Like, again, like we talked about Foles, like, seeing him from the opposing dugout was pretty, you know, I'm going to say cool, but it was, you know, like knowing, knowing what he went through to get to the position that he's at now was pretty cool to see it from both ends.
And like, again, we've gone over this, but like, they're such a young team that like, it wasn't a bunch of vets where like, you were kind of like the young guy and it was like, oh, it's look at Zach over there. It's right. Like, no, like you were the same, like everyone was like around the same age. Like you had your vets sprinkled in of like, Grossman, Miggy, like guys like that, but Torque, Riley.
Yeah, Green, it's a really unique clubhouse, because, you know, you hear, like you said, of, you know, the veterans running the clubhouse, but it was like the veterans that go over there now, it's like they're learning, not learning, but like they go through the ways of how that clubhouse was ran by the younger guys. Like there's a lot of them. They outnumber the vets, and I'm sure the vets obviously do their thing, but it's like, that's the culture over there, and it's built by that young core.
Mm-hmm.
Tom tweeted from the Compound account asking for some questions, so I'm just going to throw a couple out there. Okay?
Okay. Wait, can I ask one first? Sure. We talked about this today in the car, and I just wanted to bring it up on the pod. How gross is Yamamoto?
He's got good stuff. He's got really good stuff. It's an interesting mix, seeing him for the first time. He's a smaller dude, so he kind of throws from a lower arm angle. Fastball's pretty explosive, really firm. The curveball's interesting because it's like 12-6, and when it's away to a lefty, it's almost so up and down that it feels like it kind of backs up the other way, but it's got good kind of horizontal up and down. And the splitter's firm and pretty nasty, so you really have to work to keep him off the bottom, but pretty good mix. And we had him on the ropes a few times, and he was able to make pitches and kind of get out of it. So definitely some real pitchability there. It's taking a good team.
He struck out Saya on a heater up. I think it was 98. That, again, for those at home, fast pitches cannot rise technically. It literally looked like it went up. It looked like a Craig Kimbrel, like glory days, like that ball started his belt and went up to his nipples. Like, I was like, at 98, I'm like, that's impossible. That is literally like, you can never hit that, and you're going to swing at it every time.
Yeah. He's got pretty good vert. It's been a lot of vert. Cubby's been seeing some vert recently.
Yeah. Let's get you a nice sinker baller out there.
We'll get you right back into this week's compound, but first it's time to talk about our friends from DraftKings. It is officially time for fans to head to the ballpark and root for their home team as baseball season gets underway. You may have heard of it if you listen to this podcast. Get in on the action early this season with our partners at DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, all new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. And don't forget to use our code Compound. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers who use the promo code COMPOUND and bet just $5 on any wager can get $150 in bonus bets instantly. The promo code COMPOUND, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/baseball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, let me ask you the question.
Okay.
This is for Dakota.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
How is working at Driveline?
It's cool.
With pitchers at all levels.
It's cool.
To try and limit arm strain that lead to the injuries we've been seeing. Let me ask the question. Let me frame this in another way.
I was like, that's a tough question. You're putting me on the spot with that one.
How much conversation has there been? You know, you're working at a place that specializes in guys throwing, changing stuff, working on stuff, and it's like kind of the industry leader in some of this stuff. Like, how much conversation has there been internally about arm injuries and how much of a focus is it? Because I know what you guys are doing isn't just like trying to build pitchers to be as disgusting as they are. A big part of what you do is trying to make sure that guys are as healthy as they can possibly be.
100%. And we talk about it a lot, like, within our pitching department, because as we've all seen in baseball, like, there's been a huge rise lately in injuries. And we talked about it a little bit today, Ian, you and me. I think workload is a huge factor for a lot of guys, especially like the younger guys, like young kids or like even college kids, like they just think they need to throw 100% all the time every day. And like, that's the way they're going to throw harder and get better. And that's not always true. And I mean, that, like, I'm not going to say you're not going to get better, but like, you need to give yourself time to like give your arm a break, because throwing a baseball is an unnatural act. So like, anytime you throw a baseball, no matter how hard you throw, like, you're at a risk of an injury because your arm's not supposed to do that. So it's definitely been a big focus. So I attribute it a lot to workload, the late rash of injuries. Some people have said like pitch clock. I have a strong disagreement with that. I don't think that plays really much of a factor at all, because I've talked about it with people that like I work with. I'm like, guys have worked fast forever, like even without a pitch clock, and they didn't get hurt. So it's like, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I do think in some specific cases, no like names or anything, but just like guys around the league, like taking away any sort of stick and having to grip the ball a little tighter may be somewhat of a factor. That is my theory. I have no science behind that.
Ian's eyes just went below.
But that is truly, I do believe that. I believe that if you are forced to grip it tighter because you don't feel comfortable without it, and I'm not saying stick, I'm saying sunscreen and rosin is apparently outlawed now. And that's, I mean, guys have used that for years. So it's like, if you've done it this way forever and then you're asked to do it without it and you don't feel comfortable and you're gripping it tighter, I think that could be a cause. But my main number one cause is workload. I think people don't take full advantage of recovery days, especially at younger levels, and they overthrow, and that leads to stress on your elbow constantly.
Dakota, can I ask you, do you think the lack of the, or I guess the increased specialization, like kids are now, you work with kids, you know, that are in high school or even maybe even younger, you know, certainly there are kids that are younger than high school age that are seeking out programs like yours. Obviously you want Driveline to get business, but at some point, isn't there a harm in a 10-year-old kid going, how do I get better? I'm pitching all year round, where those kids used to go play basketball. They used to go play something else. And then, you know, the specialization's happening so early now, where it's like, can't kids be a kid? And then at a certain point, when you get to high school, when you get to college, okay, now this is when you start these programs instead of starting trying to throw curveballs at age, you know, 10, 11.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that.
I was fucking ripping curveballs at 9 years old.
Dude. I'm a big proponent of, like, well, Zach, you'd agree with this part too. Like, I'm a huge proponent in playing other sports. Like, even if like baseball's like your thing, you're best at, I'm like, why, like, go play other sports? Like, especially like you said, Tom, at 10 years old, you don't need to play baseball 12 months a year. That's just crazy. Like, you don't need to throw a baseball 12 months a year. And I agree, like, until high school and even like freshmen in high school, I feel like are too young to be doing like these, oh, like, I'm trying to throw hard or I'm trying to do this. And I'm like, I get it. Like, you want to get recruited and like, you want to be the best you can. But I'm like, at that age, like, you're so young, your body's not even developed to handle that stress. Like, until you're, I couldn't even put an age on it, but like 16, 17, like, even then you're not fully grown. So it's like, until you have the strength to even handle this stress, like, I think you're doing yourself a disservice by like trying to maximize velo at that age.
I just like to, like, the whole picture of this, I think that not everybody sees unless you're in this world, is that kids are getting recruited younger. Like, the recruiting process is starting younger. Like, when we were in high school, like, I didn't get recruited heavily until I was going into my junior year. And that was like early then. Like, getting recruited going into your junior year was like sophomore summer. That was like, yeah, man, you've got some offers. That's pretty great. Like, that's kind of a big deal. And I didn't sign until I was going into my senior year. Like, I didn't make a decision until I went through my entire junior year. I scoped out all the schools. Like, I made my visits. And then, like, before my senior year started, I made my decision. And so now kids are signing as like eighth graders and freshmen in high school. And so they're doing all of these things to perform at a super high level when they're 13, 14 years old, so that they can go to the Vanderbilts and the Floridas and the Florida States and like these Mississippi State, these big schools, because that's when they're getting recruited. And so it's not the kids' fault
that
all of this stuff is being pressured on them at such a young age, because this is when, you know, the perfect games out there and the organizations that are ranking these kids at such a young age, you know, they're forcing them to perform at the highest possible level to get college scholarships, to get looks from scouts. And like, it's not, it's coming from a lot of different places. It's not just like the kid's fault or like one. And JMO made, Alex Wood had this really good tweet thread, and JMO made a good point, Jameson Taillon, about it's so different now the way that pitchers are training. Like, it used to be that you would finish the season, you take a couple months off of throwing. Guys would throw in the off season, but I remember even when I was first coming up that like guys would throw their first bullpen in spring training. Guys that were vets would come to spring training, they would throw their first bullpen, it would be coming up like poop, and then by the time the season was upon us, like, they were ready to go. And now, like, I showed up to camp this year, guys had thrown to hitters live 3 or 4 times. Like, dudes are fully ramped, they've been throwing full effort bullpens all off season to work on new pitches, to work on stuff. Teams are evaluating guys' spin rates on the Rapsodo in bullpen. So even in between starts, in between sessions, these guys are having to throw max effort to get those numbers, to see what it looks like, to work on stuff. And like, it is a ton of stress on the arm in a very, very unnatural motion.
Me and Ian talked about this on the course today. My counterpoint, because like, there's no right side or wrong side of this whole thing. Like, it's just my thing about that, that I see obviously why people do it, is like the vets of the world, like the Max Scherzer, Jake, whatever, like the dudes that are like, I'm going to be in the rotation, doesn't matter, I'll be there. Like, they can afford to do that. But I get why the
100%
22, 25 year old is, hey, I need to be locked in. Like, day one of spring, I have to be throwing 95 because otherwise they're going to send me to minor league camp. Like, so that's just kind of the way the baseball world works, unfortunately. But like you said, it does increase, or it does lead to, this guy's coming into spring, but like you said, he's 5 lives deep already. So by the time the season starts, he's thrown 8 times in spring and 5 lives before, like, he's 13 outings in and the season just started. So like, you have all that extra stress. And another, it's a poor excuse, but it's just the facts, is like said to Ian, like,
I think a lot of the injuries are just people just throw so hard now. Like that's all, like that's increased stress. Like the harder you throw, the more stress you're putting on your elbow. And that's like, that's just, you want to throw harder. Like there is that risk every time.
And it's not, again, it's not the player's fault. Like,
no,
this is where the game is trended.
It's just like, where we are, right?
The game is trended into a place where guys are pushing the envelope more than they ever have. Guys are throwing crazier, nastier stuff than they ever have. And like, unfortunately, we are pushing the upper bounds of like what the body is capable of. And that is leading to like a increase in arm injuries. And it's not like brand new. This has been something that's been coming for years. It's just a bunch of big names went down kind of in a very short window this year. But it is, you know, it's something that needs to be looked at and addressed. And I hope that both sides, players and Major League Baseball, will do a good job of like researching and finding solutions. I don't think it's going to be fixed tomorrow, but like we want the best players in the game to be as healthy as possible.
And that's my only thing about this is like, I don't know what the solution is, because it's like, okay, like, hey, we don't want you to throw as hard, but it's like every team still wants you to throw hard. So like how do we,
if you throw 100, you're going to get more looks than somebody throwing two.
That's just the facts. Like right. That's literally just how it is. And that's what people know that. So they're like, they're willing to start their throwing sooner, do more stuff in the off season to throw harder, because they're like, if I'm 96 to 98 versus 92 to 94, like I'm going to get more chances. Like that's like just
if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, like, hey, your best potential is you throwing 98 to 100, but you may get hurt, but you also make you may make life changing money. What are you going to do?
Like that's, you know, that's why we're friends, because me and Scotty F. Ross, friend of the pod, good friend of the pod. We're talking about it. And I literally said to Scott, I said, the thing is about baseball right now and just in forever, probably, is if you told someone, hey, you can throw 98 to 100, but there's a very high chance you blow out at some point in your career, but you'll make the big leagues, I think 99% of pitchers would say deal.
Right.
Like that's just the facts. Like I would do it. Like if you told me right now, hey, you come back and you throw 98, but you're going to blow out in 2 years, I'd be like, but I make it to the big leagues, I'm in. Like right. That's side for
it's
sure.
It's human nature.
I mean, like, yeah. And on the position player the side, like it's not like, obviously, from a position player side, like you, it's a different thing, but like guys push themselves, like you play through mm-hmm. stuff, you play through like a sore something that like could lead to a blowout, like whether that's not an arm necessarily for position players, but it's something that like I will play through this even if it means that I get hurt, because I want to be out there and I want to compete. And like that's why guys are at the highest level.
I likened it to, sorry, last point on this, I when I was talking with Scott, I likened it to, in football, the concussions. I'm like, okay, like you go out there, you're playing a physical sport, you could get a concussion at any time. In baseball, okay, you're going to throw really hard, your elbow could pop at any time. Like it's just the way the game is now, which is unfortunate, but it's just kind of a harsh reality.
Yeah. We got a question on the old Twitter about West Coast trips.
You're on a haul right now.
Zach, you go on a 10-day West Coaster. What time are you waking up those first 3 days?
Pretty early. Probably 6 or 7, just out of...
You're an early riser anyway, though.
Yeah. Probably 6 or 7, just out of habit, you know, waking up at 9 or 10. It's different, man. It's... And then, like, after the game... You are so tired and you're sitting there like, man, why? And you're like, duh, you know, it's 2 o'clock at home.
Do you remember? I was just thinking this. I'm proud of you for this. You wake up now, I feel like most time at like 9. When you say most time in the off season, like even earlier, I feel like you're up. I only know what time Zach wakes up because of our snap streak, for those wondering. You used to, when we'd be road roommates, like you'd sleep till like noon, like 12:30. No, yes, you did. Cap.
I promise you, maybe 10. I've never slept.
But you'd lay in bed until like noon. Fair.
I don't know.
I swear you did.
I don't think so.
I'm going to have to reach out to some sources we have within our friend group.
Because if I don't eat, if I don't eat within like an hour or so, my day is ruined. Like,
yeah, physically. No one likes a hungry Zach either.
Well, I get a headache. I get a migraine.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stop your question.
Okay, we're going to go back to the West Coast conversation. I have been very much struggling to sleep enough. I've kind of been waking up at 7:30, and then like forcing myself to stay in bed and try to get another, you know, half hour of sleep.
But it's nice though, because you're playing with house money. Like if you wake up early and you kind of feel like refreshed, you're like, I have some time.
But you know that your body needs more sleep.
Like yeah, that's, no, I agree.
One of the things about that, like, you know that you have to perform optimally at like 7 p.m. And so if you wake up at 7 a.m., you know, you're going to be up for 12 hours before you have to like optimally perform. And if you go to bed, which is like generally, if you play a 7 o'clock game, you get back to the hotel by 11:30. And so like you're trying to get to sleep 12:30. But a lot of the times it's like between 12:30 and 1. So if you go to sleep at 12:30, you wake up at 7:30, you know, you got 7 hours and like you're pushing yourself to get 8 or sometimes even more if you've had like tough travel day, light sleep. So you know that you have to like, if I can stay in bed, if I can sleep until 8:30, 9:30 and get my 9 hours, like this is going to be a lot better for me. But it's just like when you're on the West Coast and your body's not adjusted, like it's very, very challenging.
I would like, if there's any sleep doctors listening, I had a teammate last year, Ian said this just now, made me think of it. I had a teammate that would stay up until like 3-4 in the morning, and he would sleep until like 1 p.m. And his theory behind it, he said, I need to perform at 7 o'clock. Why should the peak of my day be 1 p.m.? And I was like, sneaky. I don't hate your thought process there. Like that kind of makes sense.
I don't disagree with that. I don't like completely totally agree with the staying up that late, but I don't disagree with like kind of changing your clock. The thing that I think with the way that the Cubs schedule is and why that I try not to subscribe to that program is because we end up playing so many 120s.
Yeah, that, like, true.
That waking up between like if you can wake up anywhere between 8 and 9:30, you're kind of on a decent schedule for both. And so like when we were playing day games at Wrigley and a bunch of 120s, like you got to be getting up at like 8:30 to be on the right schedule to get to the ballpark. And then when you go on the road, you know, it's more of like I try to be in bed until I push to try to be in bed till 9, but like that is, I don't hate that schedule. I think Tom lives his life on that schedule.
I was going to say, I mean, partially, but not as bad as it used to be. But I would say when I first was a broadcaster and I was living with a host family, there was some conversations about my schedule. And I basically had the same conversation where I said, my job requires me to be alone in a room and talk for 3 hours straight every single night and try to make that entertaining for people. I need to be at my absolute peak performance or whatever that is for a broadcaster at 7 o'clock every night. If that means I got to go to bed at 4 a.m. and wake up at 1 p.m. and that's like how I'm able to peak. Because I think the hardest part for me, and I don't know how you guys feel about this as players, but after a game, you go eat. You know, there's all like that routine you get into after games as well, where you eat, you know, you get back to the hotel late. Now all of a sudden it's 1-2 already. And I'm still so amped from a game that it takes you a while to get down sometimes too. So I think that was also part of it for me. I always felt like I was always so after a game, you get into a routine of eating and then you're just kind of fired up that it takes you a while to settle down too.
I've said that, especially last year when I would pinch hit or go late into games, like my spike was, you know, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. And it doesn't just come down as soon as the game's over. But like, if you start a game, you know, you're kind of gradually spiking all game, you know, and you can only get so high for the most parts. But like, if I go in there and I have a really high situation and then like, it takes you, you know, at least an hour or two to kind of even start to calm down a little bit, in my opinion, like coming in those late situations, it's hard, but like it's completely different if you start a game compared to, or even if you have a big at bat late in the game, either you come through or you don't. Dakota, you come in late in a game and you leave, like takes you a while to Foles talks about all the time. He's like, dude, I can never sleep after the nights I throw. It's just like I'm too amped up. He comes in the eighth or ninth inning. It's
those guys are drinking Red Bulls in the bullpen before they go in.
That's what I was going to say. It's exactly like what Foles said. Like if you throw later in the game, like the nights I'd pitch, like I'd be up till 1-2 in the morning because like you said, Zach, like it's not like, oh, game's over. Okay, I'm tired. It's like, man, that was – or like either you're pissed because you're like shit or you're fired up because you threw really good and you're like, either way, you're amped.
I was just going to say, it's funny. It's like I sleep the best when I have just like a very like whatever like game.
Couple routine ground balls.
Three with a walk, like, all right, and like made every play. But like it's either like, if I go 3-for-4 and I'm like – dude, I'm watching all of every angle, like watching soaking it in.
Then like, if you go make
four punches, you're like, I mean, this is fucking terrible.
Wait, can I ask you something post game routine wise, Zach? Game ends. Training room stuff, weight room stuff, whatever. When do you eat?
It really depends. There's some nights on the road where. If I don't get in there right away, I'll just take it back to the room and eat. But I like eating at the field. I think it's part of like my decompression where it's a kind of a few minutes where I don't really think about it. Especially if I'm talking to somebody, like I won't really think about my performance as much as, you know, if I eat by myself. But at home, I usually like to do all my stuff and then shower and then eat.
Okay, I got one for you. I used to be a guy that would I'd do all my stuff, shower, and I'd either eat or generally when we were at home, I would take it with me, take it back to my place, eat when I got back, and kind of decompress at home. But your body, when you feed it that late and you're like trying to digest, like it's harder to go to bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've tried this year. It's a new thing for me. I'm trying it. Is like as soon as the game ends,
vegetarian
before lentils only. Before I do my training room stuff, before I do my weight room stuff, I try to like go directly to eat before I do anything, and then do the other stuff, and then leave so that I give myself because that's like another hour. Like
I totally agree. But. I'm not as hungry right after a game. Like it'll take me a little bit to get back in like the kind of hungry state where I'm like, all right, like I can eat.
Next time I try to give you a tip that I'm working on, I'll just not do it.
This was just conversation.
You're not going to take it. And
this was just conversation. I'm going. So
the next time I think I have something that might benefit you, I'm just going to keep
it to myself. The next day that I'm in there, I'll do that.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's a bad idea and it doesn't work for anybody.
I think it's a great idea, man.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I'm just going to think about
it. He didn't really like shit on it.
I was just like, this goes back to my point that I was talking about earlier about it's hard for me to decompress after a game. But hey, we can run with your narrative. That's fine.
No, I'm going to think about all the 5-foot putts I missed today.
Good, as you should.
There's a lot of them.
It's been an ongoing problem, people say.
Here's a question. This doesn't have to do with baseball, but I'd like to get your take on it. If you could only have one with your meals for the rest of time, appetizers or desserts?
Do I mean it? Easiest answer of all time. Desserts. Are you joking? Have you seen me? You think I would give up desserts?
I love desserts. I love desserts, but there's nothing better in the world to me than some good appetizers. Shout out to my friend Devin Perlman. Every time we go out, orders mozzarella sticks, wings. That's his meal. It's one of the best moves I've ever seen. He does it every time, and I respect it so much.
I love appetizers. Like, could I still have ice cream at, like, a different time? Or is it, like, I never can have ice cream? Can I go home and eat ice cream?
Dakota, imagine not having a Pazookie, being able to have a Pazookie.
There's no world where I'm giving up Pazookies. There's no world. I'd give that up over the entree. I'd rather have the dessert than the entree.
I'll just tell you, I am so far in the appetizer camp, I can't.
That's.
Don't need the dessert. Don't care about it.
You know what I would say Ian's going to go with for an app? Spinach and artichoke dip. Oh. That's what he strikes me as.
No.
What's your go-to app? Ian? What's your go-to app?
All the apps.
I do love mozzarella sticks, Tom. That's a good call. I love mozzie sticks.
My favorite food in the world is a plate of cheese fries. If I was about to go to the electric chair, give me a good plate of cheese fries, and I'll see you later. You guys are hilarious.
You know what I'll say my favorite app is? Like a good tuna tartare. You ever had a really good tuna tartare with a nice, like, chip, a little bit of soy on there, a little bit of good tuna tartare?
Maybe I think we should rip you for that stupid
app. Are you trying to, like, just tell us you are making $20 million this year? Like, is this your way of sneaking that in?
Just because that I like tuna tartare and I don't like cheese fries doesn't mean...
How many places do you think that we go to serve tuna tartare, Ian?
I mean, it's coming from the guy who got a well-done Wagyu burger today. I don't know.
Oh, exactly. So do you think I'm going to places that serve tuna tartare if I'm getting Wagyu beef well done? No, I am not. I want your greasiest everything. I want mozzie sticks. I want onion rings. And then you know what I'm getting for dessert? I'm getting a warmed up brownie with chocolate fudge in the middle, two big scoops of ice cream on the side. And you know what? Let's throw in a pizookie to go with it. Save your tuna tartare for your fancy dinners with your caviar and your spinach dip. Ugh.
Disgusting. I don't think spinach dip falls in the same category as the other two things you just said.
Ooh, you're right. It's not fancy enough. I don't even know. I don't know what else goes with it. Caviar? Never had either. Have you had caviar, Ian? Oh my God, I know the answer. Have you had caviar?
Yeah. Yes, I have caviar. It's fantastic.
Have you had escargot?
Yes, escargot. Also fantastic.
Zach, have you had either one of those?
No. I don't know. The caviar, just looking at it, doesn't really do it for me.
Just a blue-collar guy, that's all. That's all you are.
That's all.
Do you want to answer the question, appetizer, dessert, Zach? I don't know.
This guy said tuna tartare.
Getting crushed for tuna tartare. It's a great app. I don't know what you mean.
Tuna tartare is one of the craziest answers we've ever given in the show. I was trying to like let it go, but objectively.
Let me give you a fried app. Okay. If you want to come after me, calamari. I like a good calamari.
That's fair. I'll give you calamari. That's good.
I didn't know we can only do fried appetizers on this show.
But tuna tartare was wild.
It's not wild. It's a great app.
What percentage of restaurants do you think have tuna tartare as an appetizer? That's what I want to know.
Onesie,
in the whole country? I mean, I don't know. What percentage of restaurants do you think have fucking mozzarella sticks?
A lot. 95%.
That's not true. 95% is a high number. It's not all TGI Fridays, all right? There's plenty of places that don't have mozzarella sticks.
I should have said, like...
Can we go next question, ahead, please?
Zach. No, Zach, you didn't answer.
You didn't even answer.
I mean, this is off the rails at this point.
But are you taking desserts or apps? I know. Come on.
I really don't know, dude.
Pizookies.
Zach, do you like tuna tartare?
I do.
Thank you.
Think of if you could have never had a pizookie at BJ's in Eugene. Think about that.
No, I agree. I agree.
We're not living in that world. No way.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to go desserts.
Yes. Let's go. 2-2. What are you like researching tuna tartare now?
No, I'm upset.
My restaurant served.
I mean, finally, we.
Tom, I just want to get your take on one thing really quick before we wrap this up because we're off the rails. What do you think of this Yankees start? It's been pretty good.
I thought you were asking about tuna tartare. it's the vibes are incredible right now. As I said, the vibes have been really bad the last 18 months, so it's just amazing to have a fun Yankee team to be around.
Tell me
right
one
now.
Thing you're mad about.
Don't really have anything. I mean, when they're like 10-2, it's pretty easy to be happy.
Get mad about something. Come on,
weren't you mad last? Didn't they get out to a crazy start last year too?
Not that I remember, but
they lost yesterday. You listen, Tom. If you're not going to get mad about something, then are you really worried?
Are you worried Judge doesn't have the clutch gene after popping out with bases loaded?
I remember this is just perfectly describes Yankee fans. When I went, I got amazing tickets through John Boy to sit at a potential.
Real quick, you said describes Yankees fans. You are one of those. Like you are. a classic Yankees fan. So well, you I are think in you, this group you're describing.
I think you're going to hear the story, and maybe I feel like I'm not part of this group, but you know, okay. Everyone can describe their own label to me. I don't self-label with these people. We had amazing tickets for when Judge was trying to break the home run record, but it was one ticket. There was one ticket available. So I went just by myself. So I was just kind of, you know, you're listening around for the chatter. And he had, if you guys remember, had just a little bit of a cold streak during right before he hit that the milestone home run. He didn't hit it for like 2 weeks, but it was still obviously one of the greatest seasons in American League history. And somebody behind me was like, this guy can't hit the homer. He's just not good. Someone literally right when Judge was having one of the greatest seasons of all time was like, this guy's not good. Is he ever going to get it done? There was a whole conversation behind me. I was like, this is one of the most insane and asinine conversations I've ever heard in my life, that Aaron Judge sitting on 60 home runs is sucks because he hasn't hit a home run in 10 days.
I think it's a fair point.
Last fan question that came through was if Plouffe ever got me that wine. No, he didn't. Let's go to the Sloan screen time today, presented by our friends at Sloan. Sloan is the world's manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. They're at the forefront of the green building movement, and they provide smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions.
Ian, do you want to clip that out? We could clip that out and put it on socials. You know, we could have our social team tweet that at him, you know, because he's claimed he's gonna get the bottle to you, and he still has it.
Smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flushometers, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit sloan.com.
I had a high one today, travel day.
Mine shouldn't count.
And Masters.
You can see in the picture what I used my screen time on. 5:19, 2 hours and 13 of it was using maps.
Dakota was getting a lot of Slack messages today, so we can't really blame him.
Busy guy, it's, man. It's my six, off day, and I got to. I'm always on the clock. You know,
6:26 over here.
Oh.
Day games will do that to you, and a travel day though.
Yeah, up early too.
3:20 for me. That was 3:20 for me.
I don't know. I was with you most of the day, and I think I saw at least 3 hours myself. No phone calls today, though, Zach. I was surprised. I was surprised. No businessmen stuff going on. Tom?
8 hours, 23 minutes.
I could tell by the way Tom started. He didn't like his number. He goes, That's not bad. We've seen worse. It's late. It's like, that's like a full day. It's like midnight. It's past midnight.
Technically, my real time is like 7 minutes because it's really, it's after midnight. So,
it's a good point.
It's a good point.
That's episode 203 of the Compound Podcast presented by Connect Roasters. Go to connectroasters.com, use code Compound Club or code Compound 15 on the website. All kinds of coffee, get it shipped right to your door. Connectroasters.com. We'll see you next week.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.